This comet is the source of the debris that rains down upon Earth every summer during the Perseid meteor shower. Thus, the frozen wanderer's return provides astronomers with a unique opportunity to combine observations of a comet with existing information on its dusty footprint, says Marsden. In 1973, Marsden calculated that the comet would probably return in 1981, give or take 2 years. He based this prediction on the 1862 observations and the gravitational effects of the sun and planets. But Marsden also offered an alternative prediction that took into account the presumed effects of gas outbursts from the comet, as well as information from a 1737 sighting of a comet that he thought could have been Swift-Tuttle. In the second calculation, Marsden gave the comet an outside chance of returning to the inner solar system in 1992 instead of 1981. Comment from Hatton, is anyone nervous yet? What do you really think that scout rocket and nuclear warhead was launched from Vandenberg for? Could it possibly be to follow through with Quayle's suggestion that you blast oncoming space bodies? Or perhaps you blast out oncoming missiles like the one Russia is tinkering with? You have not the slightest notion if the missile landing is the same one launched or the 25th. You don't have any notion about much of anything taking place before your own eyes. I would guess Thanksgiving Day will be a very interesting day by any calculations. Back to Marsden. Then, early on the morning of Sunday, September 27th, comet enthusiast, my goodness, Toshiko Kuchi of USADA, Japan, spotted a fuzzy ball among the stars of the Big Dipper. Professional astronomers soon confirmed the object as Comet Swift-Tuttle, back in its old neighborhood for the first time in 130 years. Swift-Tuttle's orbit shows an unprecedented difference of 11 years between its expected date of return and its actual arrival. In comparison, Halley's Comet schedule is off by only 4 days per round trip. Marsden and others believe these discrepancies result from forces exerted by outbursts of sun-warmed gases from the comet's innards. Astronomer Donald Yeomans of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, says that the Swift-Tuttle provides a rare opportunity to study the long-term behavior of a comet.
Let me stop you just a second. They think nothing of making a statement that he's just a decade off. Just another 10 years off. And that comes around every so often. Every 22,000-year cycle, basically, you get a photon bet. And if I'm off by one day, guess what? Hatton just flunked his photon bet. It's worthy of thought.
Astronomer David Donald Yeomans of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, says Swift-Tuttle provides a rare opportunity to study the long-term behavior of a comet. There's a big controversy about how long these things last, he said. Do they last tens of returns, thousands of returns, tens of thousands? The latest observations indicate that Marsden will have to wait till December the 12th to observe his prodigal comet at perihelion, the point in its orbit nearest the sun, instead of his originally projected date of November 25th. This slightly skewed calculation does not trouble Marsden much, however. Quote, a 17-day error out of 130 years is good enough for me, he says. End of quote. The Pinatubo eclipse. Tierra Observatory, Tersch Enterprises, December 1992, quoting, a plethora of comets and moons may populate the universe, but only one reflects Earth's light back to our eyes. This unique talent belongs, not surprisingly, to our nearest neighbor, the moon. Perhaps you've already noticed an odd aspect of the crescent moon. The dark portion glows a bit. even though there's no sunlight there. It's earthshine, sunlight bouncing off our shining world to the moon's night side and then back to us. Any citizen of the crescent moon's dark side would be dazzled by the gibbous earth. But there's another rare occasion when our planet stands mirrored by the moon. It's coming up this month when the moon plunges into Earth's shadow. It's the first total lunar eclipse in almost 3 years and the first since the Mount Pinatubo eruption in the Philippines. For over a year, a pink afterglow has followed sunset, a reflection from the volcano's stratospheric dust and a vivid confirmation of the air's pollution. A decade ago, dust from the Mexican volcano El Chicón darkened Earth's atmosphere, resulting in the bizarre eclipse of 1982 when the moon assumed a weird yin-yang appearance. What effect will Pinatubo have on this month's eclipse? Nobody knows, but who would miss the chance to find out? We can see the whole picture of Pinatubo's pollution from a cosmic perspective as our atmosphere's status is broadcast by the darkened moon on December the 9th, 1992. That's because the moon rarely disappears when it falls into Earth's shadow. The eclipses all along partial stages are usually followed by a total eclipse that is not blacked out but coppery red. The ruddy tint materializes because Earth casts a red shadow in space. More precisely, our shadow is colored by atmospherically refracted sunlight. The most dramatic way to visualize the situation is to pretend you're a tourist on the moon during the eclipse. You'd see the sun slowly slipping and vanishing behind the Earth. But then what a sight. The ink-black cameo of Earth would be surrounded by a brilliant red ring, its atmosphere illuminated from behind by the sun. This crimson band is nothing less than all of Earth's sunrises and sunsets forming a continuous halo around the ebony disk. But not perfectly continuous. Here and there, clouds mar the ring, atmospheric dust and pollution darken other sections. The total light striking the moon depends on the clarity of Earth's air. The action begins at sunset. The full moon will come up already partially or totally eclipsed, as seen from most of the United States and Canada. The eclipse will appear in its entirety just from the easternmost states, the moon rising perfectly full, only to have the first black bite taken out of its bottom side soon afterward. Totality starts at 6:08 Eastern Time. Only the westernmost states and provinces miss the total phase. Their consolation is the strange spectacle of a moon rising partially eclipsed. You'll see totality if your area's moonrise occurs before totality's end at 7:22 Eastern Time. Of course, if the moon does blacken, it may be hard to spot, a murky phantom in the eastern sky between Thorn of Taurus. Should clouds...
It should be between the horns of Taurus.
Thank you. Should clouds spoil the show, just two more total lunar eclipses will be widely visible over the U.S. for the remainder of the century. The next one occurs in only a year, on November the 29th, 1993. After that, we wait until September the 27th, 1996. But neither is likely to offer the tantalizing suspense of this, the great Pinatubo eclipse. End of article. Now, what do we make of this? Is this truly a Pinatubo moon eclipse, or is this an excuse to keep from scaring you... Excuse me. Is this an excuse to keep from scaring the you-know-what out of you? Other volcanoes have not produced this wondrous sight. I suggest you pay very, very close attention to the possibilities of fulfilling the prophecies here. It just might be the big one. Please keep in mind, readers, this is not Hatton's New York scenario, nor Hatton's eclipse. I suggest you readers grow up and start paying attention to important matters and stop hauling blame and denial from one portal to another. you have no way of measuring the magnitude of that which is coming down upon you, and bickering and blaming, denial and rock throwing will merit you only death in one form or another. It always ends in that manner, death. Will yours be into life or into greater death? It's up to you. I do suggest to you who have things pending, be it purchases or preparations for interim trials, get it wrapped up. The things delivered and stashed, etc., within the next days, preferably prior to the 26th. Thanksgiving, as it could be a most unpleasant day. Next, if this is not possible, try prior to the 29th, which may be even more unpleasant. A lot of stuff has got to hit the fan before the end of December, or it's all over for half the power brokers. It is an exciting time to be experiencing. Just attend your circumstances in wisdom, please. So be it. In great love and caring, we stand by in waiting. Hatton to clear. Thank you. I salute you, gentle people, who walk with us in this mission and journey. God attends those of his flock. Hold it ever near thine hearts. Adonai.
Salu. Aho. I know the myriads of questions are wheeling through your brains. I know that you once continually have the foot to your own seat. Quite frequently. How did I miss that? Goodness gracious, where are my brains? I knew that. Don't be hard on yourselves. You didn't know that. You're just now learning to generalize these things, to put them together, so that you have something with which to work. And then your hearts go out. Am I doing all I can? No, probably not. On the other hand, if you don't know what you're doing, sometimes it's better not to act, because you can bring more danger, more problems upon the ones who do understand a little bit better. We have ones who continually write, is it time for me to come? I know that I'm being guided to come there. Blessings upon these ones. And perhaps they're correct. But right now, with the way things are unfolding, and with the problems that are coming from really several changes, it forces us into somewhat of a slowed position. We have to slow up, as a matter of fact, on the dome project. I would hope that Shrevers are not too distressed over that, but you must have 24 hours to cure the kind of cement that is going to be blown onto that massive dome. And you can't get that now. In fact, you're going to be in for some very, very hard freezes as the games pick up. But with any kind of luck, maybe at least you will get some snowpack so that you can have water. They prefer not to allow you to have that. We'll just have to see how it unfolds. My suggestion is that you, I believe some of your words are hunker down. Let us let some of this unfold. Let us relieve pressures from someone's and allow us to just function here while these massive events unfolding. Many of you have been very diligent in getting some of your more tedious affairs in order. And those can be for the ones of you in this room that are left a little bit dangling here. Since the market held, since they didn't bottom her out on Friday, This was due to several things, Japan and Hong Kong primarily. And somebody very thoughtfully burned up Windsor Castle. That may not mean much to you, but it did to the London bankers. So you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. It's very, very hard to make the proper choices, even of fund placement, which banks will hold. Because the minute you think it's figured out and the elite get busy shifting great sums of money, they don't let you know where they're shifting it. And much international money is being held in limbo, waiting for this collapse or the new currency or some true identification of what banks to funnel other investments through. Now, that Eastern Hatton would have you believe that there should be no interest in your affairs. Then what in God's name is God for? Why, if your child would come to you and ask for bread, would you give him rocks? Unless you hate him. Ones who are earnestly petitioning God to help and guidance so that you can make the proper decisions, so that you can forward your own journey back into the oneness with God. Why would he not help you? Why would he cast you out? Man has free will. Many changes can take place. All we can do is the best we can on the level on which we have to function. And then if we don't make it, we turn absolutely unto God, and he will see us through. It's still a time of sorting. And those who have held on simply to make a killing are going to be disappointed in the killing that is made. They will undoubtedly be the victims. And you can see by the increased pressures, not the least of which is the clue on this RTC property that is being haggled over. You will find in the bankruptcy courts, when these ones just began to look at the listings of the court hearings for the day, all but one was RTC. They're taking everything. And the thing at stake in this particular case, not a house. They could care less about a house. We have spoken of it before. There is legal case being made, and they were waiting for a resolvement of this particular case to cinch in what they call the Dench Doom Doctrine, which allows the RTC or the government to absolutely seize anything without recourse, without court, without recourse. But can you believe the little loophole that somebody thought of on the day nobody showed up for that sale? There is one exception, and these ones fit into that one exception, except in case of fraudulent sale. There was no sale. How fraudulent can you get? Well, this is absolutely the epitome of horror to the ones who were sent to stop us. Now it's going to get heard. Somewhere, sometime, some judge has to blatantly come out and rule against them again. And if he does, it will be in the lap of the Supreme Court 2 days later. And someone is going to have to recognize the fact that there was no sale in this property, and therefore they do not fall under the Dench doom. And it's going to bring the Dench doom fiasco into the eyes of the people. Will it do any good? Probably no. Not in the mass recognition. But it will be your confirmation. And until you once get some confirmation that the times are at hand for the things that have been predicted, and you can turn to someone in truth, we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. And you have to do it brick by brick by brick in this wall. First, you have to brick by brick tear down the wall and then build your security shelter. So let's be patient with each other. Let's hold the course. Let's stay the course. And the other things will come. And if they do not come, then we will swing into alternative action. Let's stop judging everything that we do against what they do. Because we can take almost the opposite approach to everything that is predicted for you, turn it around, and that's the law of the bureaucracy. Everything they state that they will accomplish, they will do exactly the opposite, and that is their full intent. That is the adversary at work. And he's going to hit you every time you let your guard down. And you ones are going to learn what those guards are. And if you allow them or assist in tearing down your own protective system, you're going to get it. Every time, without fail, they wait to attack. It also means that you must give a supporting foundation and assist to all ones. But for the grace of God, in any instance, there goes you. It's time to stop casting stones or snickering or tattling or gossiping. The times are hard. The enemy wants to stop you. And the enemy certainly wants to stop me. And will utilize every inroad to get to my scribe. Now, many of you will find the next very humorous about Dead Dormain. In the midst of all this confusion and hyper the other day, out of the blue, she decides that today is the day to make bread. Don't try to figure the mind of a woman. But some were going to spend the night, and when she had bread machines, let's just make up a little, whip up a little bread. Well, she got out of two machines. She got one fixed just fine, and it turned on nicely. And I refuse to take any blame for this. The other one wouldn't work. Well, she finally decided, after she got everything in it, I mean, like everything in it, she turned it on, it won't go. Now she decides that something's wrong, so she, oh, I see, I didn't get the bucket locked in. Now we put the bucket in, and the lights come on, and begins to churn and whirl, and it sounds like the kitchen's going to fall apart. Now she goes in there, and it said a cup of water, so she put a cup of water and the cup in it. And then it said a teaspoon of this, and so she put the teaspoon and the spoons in it. And it certainly did rattle. Understand the humor and the expression, the tension release of something like that. Don't just think you have a messy kitchen full of dough. There's something to be realized in this. that you're human. And just because you work with us doesn't relieve all of the tension. It just gives you the knowledge that whatever the outcome is all right, whatever it is. And as long as you can be flexible enough to say, Father, thy will, whatever it be, let me serve to the best of my ability. It won't matter if a few cups end up in your bread machine. Take it for what it is worth. We're doing all right. We're doing all right. You cannot imagine how well you're doing, because you cannot imagine that army out there against you. Or the ones really trying to help you. It got even funnier as they made sure that Norma made it to Fresno. She and Charles were in a fog bank all the way to Bakersfield. They could have no surveillance from overhead. And this was a remarkable thing. Norma says, have you ever seen it rain from the ground up? Charles, there's something wrong with this. We're socked in. You can't see 100 feet. It's pouring rain. Don't underestimate God. You're going to be in error if you do that. And never underestimate the strength you give one to another. Not just the outcome value, but just the togetherness that says, hey, I care about you. Even to the little parakeet in Merle's ear that does his little blather bit and does the day's news and goes yappity 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 yap at Malcolm X. And Merle turns to this green bird and says, Malcolm X? Sure enough, Hatton is really a green parakeet. Well, really, Turkey was just giving his daily news, and the big talk is the Malcolm X movie. And guess what they're going to do? All around the nation now, the Civil Liberties Union is all up in arms because these movie houses are placing guards to make sure there are no riots or anything. They're going to make them take away the guards. That is insulting to the black community, they say. Well, okay, let them go shoot each other. Then let's see where they are when somebody gets killed dead because there are no guards. You have to understand this is orchestrated chaos. I'll write on it. I meant to ask these ones to bring the paper. Once again, circulating in the Jewish community, being mailed out from the ADL, Ben Iverith, and a couple of these other Jewish organizations, are the instructions to the Jews. And they are brief listings of the protocols. It's time to refresh you on that also. Now, there are a couple of things in reference to space and missiles, etc. Overly, did we bring the paper with the phone calls and McLaughlin's statement about NASA?
No, we didn't.
Why didn't we?
Because I'm dumb.
Admission will not help you. How about the other paper that Norma was reading just before from Soltec?
We have it. And Karen has gone after the McLaughlin message from NASA.
Very good. It's very, very brief. I think that you would enjoy hearing Soltec's. I don't know that you will enjoy hearing it so much as Dorma does. It is such a relief for her not to have to bear all of the receiving. It's not good news, particularly. But you see, you've got receivers now that are presenting information to your ones that are now hitting into the paper from other speakers. That's your confirmation that you're not alone. And it's their confirmation to know that they have been receiving all this time. And now comes their time of functioning and integration of material. I cannot see going beyond 40 pages in the paper because people are not having time to read it all. And yet there is enough to fill up 40 times 40. But we have to take that which gives you the most support, the most information, and I'll continue to carry the dirty load for a while. You once have been wondrous what has been accomplished in this short period of months is incredible. You will not understand the miracle that you have created for a long time because you don't feel quite so attached. Dorma has a few more items to give her some confirmation in that she's worn out a second keyboard on a computer, completely rubbed away the key tops, and her hands are totally encapsulated tendons. But she's only one with a portion. All have a portion. Every single job, no matter what it is and how menial it may seem to you, is absolutely necessary for the whole. So if all you do is fish the cup out of the bread machine, do you not see that without you, we cannot get there? Do we have what we need now?
Yes. We have the telephone call as transcribed from Mr. McLaughlin in Florida. He says, I have just received a letter from NASA. Dear citizens, in an effort to develop a shared vision for the future of the U.S. civil space program, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration will hold a series of town meetings across the country in November and early December. Please accept this letter as an invitation to attend and participate in the meeting in your area. This is a critical period for NASA. Now a comment from McLaughlin. Since when, my friend, can NASA order or hold town meetings across the United States? We are in it, mister. We are in it. This is an official letter. I will fax it out to you as soon as I can. McLaughlin in Florida, out. Now, if it would be all right with you, Commander, I would ask Ed Young to read the Soltec message.
Very, very good. Let me just say for all ones who are receiving. Am I off now?
You're on.
There are a lot of tone changes, and her antenna come right up. You see when the tones change. All of you are going through this. Please pay attention to those tone changes. You're hearing exactly what she's hearing. And one of these days, you're going to understand that you can translate that too. So pay attention to those. And when those tones change, you'll be able to better combat the discomfort that comes with it. And also you'll begin to understand a lot more clearly. But there is great appreciation to you ones who have spent so much time and effort.
Bart just wrote up on his horse.
To get those greetings out. Well, he's our patrol.
Greetings,
what most of you don't understand is the graciousness. Bart stayed out in the cold the other night to keep vigilance so that he could warn you once if they closed in on you. You see, always the right hand doesn't know what the left is doing. And that means that the left often does not get appreciation. And I, for one, thank you, Bart.
Can you answer my question?
It depends on what your question is.
We have the mic. Can you hold a minute, Bart, till we get a mic?
Can Catan tell his children? Why Bart took the actions that he did? Doesn't even have to tell the actions that he took.
Why did Bart take the actions that he took?
Yeah.
Well, there are many reasons, brother.
There's one basic reason.
Well, then maybe Bart might have to tell that one. I'll tell this room who Bart is. Bart is a genuine, what you would call Christian. In the true sense of the word. He may call God Yahweh. You may call God anything you please, but he knows who God is. And he had several things happen. One, ones rallied when he needed help in that community, this community. He feels great brotherhood. He knows that it is the time of the ending of this cycle, when the prophecies are coming down and the big boys are going to get very, very nasty. He has gone through the destruction of his offices. He is a physician. They've raided his offices with some 15 to 20 armed men and torn it to shreds, broken the equipment, cut the wires into the wall. He's a brother. And he cares. And he could serve that way. And it was imperative that someone be out there watching. You can't have all ones watching just from inside. And he did it because he loves you. And he loves God. And he was serving. Now, if you want to add something to that, Bart.
Well, you just said it. And it had to be said that the reason that Bart and Morrell act as they did is because of love. Love of the Ten Commandments of my Father and the faith of Jesus, knowing that these are absolutely contrary to that which could most easily be described as the mark of the beast. And I think I'll have to go home. My horse is wet. By the way, I might as well tell you, the reason I had to bring my one-horsepower vehicle here is because you may be able to guess the answer. It was made by the Creator, as no other vehicle that I have was. Thanks a lot. I hope that might be helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How interesting to be so daring, so different.
Where's FEMA's horses?
Well, they use half tracks.
Are we ready for?
Yes, let's go on with Soltec.
Okay, am I on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Before I begin to read the Soltec writing, I'd like to take a moment on behalf of everybody here to warmly congratulate Soltec scribe Callie and her spouse on their 25th wedding anniversary, which is on Wednesday, this Wednesday, 25 on the 25th, for those of you into numerological symbolism. The big bash was held Saturday night, last night, and if the preparations for that event were not major enough, the local wedding of Callie's son, next Saturday, 11/28, makes for yet another wave of preparations for her entire extended household and house guests and all that's involved in that. And I think on behalf of all of us, I could say that we're extending also a warm congratulations to Callie's son, the bride and the groom, on their wedding next Saturday.
Yes.
And as Soltec says near the end of this writing, there will be many invisible guests at that wedding.
Yes, now, we don't like to miss a good wedding.
Now, on the...
Before you begin, let me change the tape.